everyone, welcome to ABW Radio Live on YouTube. It is Wednesday the 13th of July 2016. Back with you again.
January.
I wish it was July. It would be so freaking
and we are league champions! And we won the Champions League! Who knew?
Evening, Danny.
Hi, Chris.
Alright. Yeah. I'm your host, Chris. Obviously, I have Danny with me. Noisy bastard. I also have Carl, and I also have John. Evening, gentlemen.
Evening.
Good evening.
Right, let's get it out of the way then. All of you lot are going to have rants, so Danny, you can start us off. What do you want to say?
Oh, how fucking hard. Like I was saying to Cole before we started, what was Gibbs doing? Hold on, I'll have a little run down the left wing and I'll kick it. The Liverpool player, they've got the ball back, they run down the other end, they get a free kick, they score. Well done, Mr. Gibbs. And he's a defender. This is why Wenger's playing him at left wing, because he's an idiot as well as a defender. Poor old Monreal was getting bum-tickled the entire time because Theo Walcott had no idea who Mr. Monreal is, or indeed that he was playing on the left-hand side, so they kept attacking down there. If this would have been 3-2, you'd be seeing me, pants on my head, doing a special dance, being all jolly. No, we threw the fucking game away, and I'm fucking pissed off. The highlight of the game for me was Jurgen Klopp celebrating every time they scored.
Right, I'm going to stop you right there. That is fucking obscene. Take that back immediately.
No,
seriously,
I love Mr. Klopp.
Fucking bellend.
No, I love Mr. Klopp.
Oh, because he shows passion. Piss off, John. What was your thoughts tonight?
John loves him.
That's it, really. Yeah. That pretty much sums it up.
Good, thanks, and see you next time.
No, it was just awful. Just all night, just terrible. I'm going to say it now and shock everyone. Joel Campbell was our best player on the pitch.
Thank you, hallelujah.
You know we've played badly when I think Joel Campbell is the best player on the pitch.
You couldn't, could you? You couldn't just say...
Well, I'm sorry, that just shows how shit the team performed all night if he's the best player. It does, I'm sorry, it's true.
He's been very, very good. It isn't just a fluke now. It's not that he's an average
player. He has been playing very well. The team were awful. Everyone was fucking terrible. Couldn't keep hold of the ball. Joe Allen came on and scored an equaliser. Joe fucking Allen. Seriously, I think I said in the chat earlier, I could have put an Arsenal shirt on coming at half time and it would look like fucking Zidane. Seriously. They were fucking useless. That pretty much sums up how I feel about it, to be honest. Sorry for the language.
I think you could be excused. What was your thoughts on the evening, Carl?
It feels like a loss. It feels like we've lost that game. 3-2 with 2 minutes to go. Like Danny said, I have no idea why Kieran Gibb doesn't run into the corner. I really don't understand. He kicks at a Liverpool player. They go down the other end. We concede a foul, and then they score. Like for the first 20 minutes of that game, I don't think we touched the ball more than 10 times. They were all over us, and it's yet again all the time these slow starts. Like we should have been easily 3-0 down. That easily in the first half, and it just feels like a defeat, and it's just one too many times. Every time we get a good run of results, we just fuck up. Sorry to swear, but we just fuck up, and I just don't understand why we can't play against these high intensity teams.
Because we're Arsenal. Okay, let's.
What did you think then, Chris? As we've said our bit, and we've had a bit of an argument before we started, didn't we?
Well,
I may have called you a tit.
I'm not saying any of you are wrong. In fact,
you fucking did tell me I was wrong.
Well, no, I didn't.
I think you might have called me a fucking idiot.
If you'd have listened to what I said, I'm not saying any of you are wrong. I think you all make excellent points. What I do have an issue with is our fucking wanky fan base that immediately jump on to every social media outlet. Oh, this is terrible. Oh, we're going to win. Fuck all. This is, we're dreadful. I've seen hundreds of people tweet, why did we defend a 3-2 lead? I mean, are you fucking mental? No, we should have pushed forward and conceded on the break. That would have been better, would it? We should have done what we did at home to Monaco or Swansea, that game Swansea, where we all just bombed forward and conceded. And that would have been better, would it? So, I totally agree with Carl. It feels a little bit like a defeat. You know, it does feel like we've dropped points because we have dropped points. And I'm not disputing at all that, we should be hanging on to these results. But if you look at the bigger picture, Manchester City have drawn at home to an Everton team that are, bog average. Spurs have lost at home to a Leicester side that I still think will drop away. Manchester United couldn't capitalise. Okay, yes, it is an opportunity to pull further clear. But I only worry when we lose ground. And I don't think we've lost ground tonight. We've missed an opportunity. And yeah, we would all have been happy if we'd have been sat here now with a victory. But to say that a draw in a game that we could conceivably have been 4, maybe 5-0 down, I just think is madness. And I think we need to get it in a bit of perspective and say, okay, yeah, you know, it's disappointing. But to say it ends the season, or to say that, oh, well, we're all crap again. There's no middle ground with our fans, is there? There's no realistic take. It's
no, if we'd have been 3-0 down and come back to 3-3, we'd be going, well, that was a bloody good game. But to have twice been losing the game and then to come back and be winning 3-2 with, what, 2 minutes left to go, it's not too much to ask that these players, who are some of the best players, and Koscielny, who's been touted as one of the best defenders in the world, and Bellerin, one of the young best defenders, and Monreal, one of our best players in years at left back, for them just to fucking do their job and check one of the best goalkeepers in the world. Don't fucking do these things. Don't let the goals in. Just keep hold of the ball. Walk it into the corner. Concede a foul. Kick it out for a throw-in. But don't let them get it right on the edge of the box. The way that Koscielny grabbed, put his arm around him and pulled him down. I mean, what the hell was he doing there?
I think in that situation, I don't think you can blame Koscielny. I think any defence... It's desperation, isn't it? You know, you're clinging on to a lead and you take one for the team, as the saying goes. You take a man down. I'm not sure you can blame... I just look at it from the perspective of if it's the other way round, we're all saying that's a performance of champions, you know, that we hung on and we ground out a result, and yet because it's on the other foot, suddenly we're now terrible. I just want a bit of perspective, really. But John, what was your thoughts on the first half? I mean, rather than going goal by goal, let's go half by half, because there's so much to take from it. You were right in what you said about the start. We looked slow, lethargic, sloppy. We couldn't retain the ball. You know, Liverpool just... We made them look good, which, you know, I don't think they're particularly brilliant. What was your thoughts, particularly at 1-0?
Just trying to work out how many goals we were going to concede, how long we were going to make Jordan Ibe look like Pele, you know, just how dreadfully... Just, you know, no midfield. Giroud was holding the ball up to knock down to no one. Theo Walcott fought for the first goal. Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll just sort of walk out of my own box a bit and straight into three Liverpool players instead of booting up the pitch to fucking Mong. Yeah, that pretty much sums up the first half. And then we get two goals out of nowhere. I don't know where that came from, because I thought at no point we were going to score. But it was just dreadful. The whole first half was awful. We couldn't string two passes together. And it weren't even like Liverpool were playing that well. They weren't great. They were mispacing passes and everything. Roberto Firmino, if anyone ever watched the Bundesliga whilst he was still there at Hoffenheim, he was awful. He had one half-decent season.
That's a big shout, John.
He had one half-decent season.
Awful's a bit strong, though.
He's no wonder star player. And we made him look like one of the best players on the pitch. That's terrible. And what's worse is what Danny was saying there about defending right at the end. We did that the whole game. You would think after the first half and getting in at half time, the manager would slap some fucking sense into the players and go, you know what, maybe do your jobs properly. But they didn't. They continued it for the full 90 minutes and played like complete tits.
Fair enough. Yeah, I can't agree he was awful. Sorry, I just can't. But I do take your point that we did make him look better than he was. I'll give you that much. Carla, at 1-0 down, we showed the response of a side that were fighting for a title in that we got an immediate equaliser. The parts played by Olivier Giroud and indeed, or more importantly in my opinion, Joel Campbell, to set up the goal for Ramsey. I mean, those two in particular tonight stood out. But at that stage, were you sort of confident that we could take a grasp of the game? Because it was probably our first attack, wasn't it?
Yeah, basically it was. I thought at 1-1, I thought, okay, we should calm ourselves down. We got it back. Let's carry on. But no, we still let Liverpool just run us riot. Like, they were closing. They were winning every second ball. Every time the ball bounced, every second ball, they were first to it. And it's just like, we started so slow. We conceded the second goal, and it was like, again, like, you just thought to yourself, what is going on, Arsenal? Come on. I mean... To be honest, that second goal, you don't save those, do you? Because if that was an Arsenal player, we would be going absolutely mad. So, you know, you can't fault the second goal. Maybe if you've been really critical, you could have said it could have been closed down quicker. But no, you don't save those. But it was just like, come on, Arsenal. The goal that we got was the kickstart that we needed, and we just didn't respond to it. And again, it's just basic silly errors that we can't get out of our game. And it's just typical the Arsenal way. Like, and if we really want to go on to win this title, we need to play better.
That's what pisses me off. When we get the goal back, that should then kickstart the team. You know, like what Carl's saying, we should then keep hold of the ball and actually do something. But instead, we just fall straight back into type the way we've been playing. You know, there was a bit of fortune for us getting that goal, and then we throw away that good chance, and we did it again when we get the second. You know, we didn't take any of the few positives we got in the game to try and help us to win it.
Danny at 2-1 down then. So I agree with Carl, by the way. Firmino's goal is, you know, it's a quality strike. Yeah, absolutely quality.
But anything in the top left or top right hand corner, it's almost physically impossible to get to it. Even unless you're standing above it, underneath it, you ain't going to get it.
Particularly when you've got players in front of you. Just quickly, before I ask you about the second equaliser, do you think Petacek could have done better for that first goal?
I can't really remember the first goal. It was put it in the bottom right hand corner.
He palmed it kind of directly at whoever it were. Firmino's first goal.
He was let down by Mertesacker. I mean, I was saying this before, that quite a lot of the goals, there's a big Mertesacker shaped hole because he's running along in slow motion going, oh, I should be over there and I'm not. But he did some fantastic clearances. I mean, maybe three clearances he did that were brilliant. I can hear noises. Someone got their radio on. No, I don't know what that was then.
I don't know. Everybody put yourselves on mute when you're not speaking. I'd say it's Mertesacker's fault.
No, I'm not saying it's his fault. I'm saying there is a hole there where Mertesacker should be at times, because Koscielny is the left-hand side central defender. Mertesacker is the right-hand side. And a couple of times today, Mertesacker wasn't there when he should have been. He was running along in slow motion trying to get there. And that's happened quite a few times all season.
Yeah,
I don't think Koscielny had his best game today. I don't think anybody's going to play well in the rain, are they?
Well.
I'm sorry, Danny. You just turned into Michael Owen then.
You can't play well in the rain. Your hair gets all wet and messy. Your gel's dripping in your eyes. Running around in wet underpants isn't good for anybody. Carlo Touré fell and sliding off. If you'd have picked him up and squeezed him, you'd have got about 6 litres of water out of him. Personally, I'd refuse to play in the rain. I'd say it's raining, boss, take me off.
No, I watched a video of you playing FIFA on Twitch the other night, and you said that exact same thing. Oh, it's fucking raining again. Why is it always raining?
Yeah, I don't like the rain.
No, you don't.
I refused to. I didn't even go to Sian's Nan's funeral because it was raining. I said, no, not going, it's raining. I said to her when she was ill, I went, if you're going to die, you make sure you die in the summer, otherwise I'm not coming to your funeral.
Do yourself a favour, don't ever move to Plymouth, for Christ's sake.
I hate the rain. Awful stuff. That's why I want to go and live in Australia where there's spiders there.
Right. John.
Does it?
That first goal, I think Cech could have done better with the... he could have pushed it further wide.
Or behind the corner, maybe.
But he shouldn't have been put in that situation in the first place, because Theo Walcott should have just kicked out the pitch.
Yes.
So he just decided to go for a little stroll. I don't know, maybe he forgot he was an Arsenal player. Transfer to Liverpool after all. Well, it's quite nice, this stadium. Oh, fuck, I've got a football. All right, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, Walcott was at fault for me. And so I'm not slating Peter Cech. I just think he will look at that and think...
He'll think he should have done better with that. Mignolet should have done better with Ramsey's one.
Yeah, agree.
There's only one place he's going to be able to put it. I mean, he didn't cover it, but there you go.
No, I agree. What about the second goal? From a corner, Liverpool's Achilles heel... I mean, what can you say? It's probably more about Giroud sort of getting the nick on it, but it was more about their defending than our immensely brilliant creative play from a corner, wasn't it? I mean, the defending was just terrible.
Looked like Arsenal defending set pieces of a few years ago, to be perfectly honest. It was really bad. I know we've been a bit suspect from set pieces as well this season, but that was just awful, and I'm not quite sure what Mignolet was trying to do with it. I don't know if it's actually going to go down as a Giroud goal, because I couldn't really tell whether it was going to go in quite off his little flick.
I think it was.
It looks like it's going along the line. It might go in, but Mignolet definitely changes the direction of it into the net. So I hope Giroud gets it. But, you know, it's just decent it's obviously something that practice in training, little near post ball. Was it Ramsey, I think, took the corner?
I think it was, yeah, for that. Yeah right hand side, yeah.
So it's obviously a little set piece routine they've tried out, and, you know, it worked. And I was pleased we got it, but, yeah, it was weird because we were so out of the game, the fact that we scored. It really did seem to come out of nowhere.
Yeah, fair points. What about, Carl, what about the Giroud miss? He got a lot of stick for it, and granted, yes, you know, I'm not going to defend the fact he probably should have bundled it in with whatever body part possible, but I think Ian Wright was spot on at half time. He seemed to just get ahead of the game, didn't he? Just seemed to get ahead of the run, and therefore it hit his thigh rather than his outstretched leg.
He should have missed that. I'm sorry, I can't. No one on God, not even Jeff Arsenal, can defend him. I'm sorry, there is no way he should have missed that. No way. He's got to score that. At three, I think if he scores that, I genuinely think we're going to win the game. But I honestly think we really should have scored that. I really do.
Did you put Carl off by typing in the window as he's about to talk?
Sorry.
Such a cruel trick.
Sorry, that was very, very mean of me. I do apologise. That was all my fault. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but these things happen. You know, they do happen in football. You know, but he should have gone on to score that. We didn't. You know, he didn't score it. You have to move on, and I hope... It didn't affect him through the game because, you know, he went on to score after that. So hopefully he doesn't affect him at all.
Yeah, it's one of those things. And that is Giroud in a nutshell. He will miss the occasional one that you think he should score and then come up with something brilliant. Danny at 2-2 at half-time then. So, we're kind of sitting there at the point where we think, okay, we've done well to get back into the game, come out with a renewed attitude second half, and the game continued to be bonkers. Like, both teams just seemed to be like,
bonkers.
No. Bonkers. Tactics out the window, both all out attack. That third goal, though, that was something to behold. Once again, Joel Campbell... fantastic piece of skill, Bellerin, to make what was a pretty poor Flamini pass in midfield. His pace alone got him there. I forget who it was, so he did that at the Emirates. I can't remember who the game was. Was it the Champions League game where he...
It's Bayern,
wasn't
Munich.
It? That's right, yeah, where he motored away. John's right, it's Bayern when he motored away from...
Just before you go on, whilst I did congratulate Joel Campbell, I've got to be horrible about him again. That pass was completely deflected into Giroud's pass.
Really?
Yeah, if you watch it, it comes off a Liverpool player and completely changes direction and falls at Giroud's feet. So, just saying, Joel Campbell was trying to make the other pass, which was probably actually the right one to make, but, you know,
yeah,
got
fair enough.
Was the thing
I'm just saying, so it's not really an assist.
I mean, luckily for Giroud, he had one of his best moments in an Arsenal shirt, that turning volley into the goal, and also his worst one where he missed the ball, but there again, it's pissing down a rain, sliding all over the place, you've got no control, never mind. But it would have been nice for him personally to go, because he's never got a hat-trick for us, has he?
Giroud.
Did he get one recently?
Olympiacos.
Yeah, that was it. Because I remember thinking, I hope he gets four, because then that's not a hat trick, and he still would have. The French Lampos wouldn't have got a hat trick. Yeah, so it was quite recently.
Hasn't got one in the league, but
brilliant, though. I mean, if Raj was saying in our WhatsApp group, we need to get a fourth. If we'd have got a fourth, then that would have been 4-2. That game would have been over, and they would have just given up.
With 25 minutes to go, I would agree. But we'll come on to that. But Owen, I'm almost as exciting as paint drying Hargreaves, described the Giroud turn as Bergkamp-esque.
I dare
to say it was, wasn't it? Yeah. That just the way he rolled across his body and turned, and hell of a finish.
He didn't just overhead kick it or lob it. He placed it. He knew where it was going. And that's a sign of a world-class, at-times, striker, that they know where the goal is without having to look up. Because you see the number of times that Theo or the Ox will be running, look up. Joel Campbell doesn't do that. He runs with the ball at full pace the entire time. Oh, first half, something we forgot to mention. That bit where Bellerin comes, he's got the ball, he runs, he sprints past one player, he kicks the ball round another player, runs up to it, gets the ball, and then crosses it in. That was another thing of beauty.
Yeah.
So that's two. Giroud's overhead kick, which is what the point you made. Something that Tash has just sent me a tweet. She said, probably just awful coincidence, but how we have a nasty habit of conceding shortly after Mesut Ozil is subbed off? ? I think she's got a point.
Yeah, I mean, we'll cover the changes in a second. It's definitely worth bringing up. But at the score at 3-2, now... When was that third goal scored? About 60 minutes, was it?
60, yeah. It was still like half hour, or at least 25 minutes to go.
55 minutes, so 10 minutes into the second half, so actually a bit earlier than I thought. Now, John, I'll stick with you. So this is where I have sort of a bit of an issue with what some people say. So at that point in time, I would agree that maybe at that point we seem to have enough control. Liverpool seemed to be wilting confidence-wise. It was like, oh, you know, they didn't believe that they could win the game that they thought they'd won already. Do you think that at that point that's when we maybe should have gone for the fourth goal between sort of the 55th and maybe 70th minute? Is that when you would have liked to have seen us bomb on and try and get a fourth?
Well, yeah, because, I mean, Liverpool's defending was almost as bad as ours, so why not? And let's be honest, we were giving up so many chances, the only way we were going to win the game was to outscore Liverpool. I think the idea of sit back and defend wasn't going to work, as it showed in the end, because we were just, the amount of crosses, and they were just picking us apart whenever they wanted. I don't know, there wasn't any other sort of changes you could really make to the team in terms of subs or anything else that might have helped with that, I don't think. But we just couldn't. I don't know how we would have done it, because we couldn't get a hold of the ball. When the few times we did get it, we weren't great with it. I thought Ozil, for the most of the game, wasn't really in it. Second half, he was better because he got more of the ball and we could get it to him. But I think it's games like that where he'll get his criticism from journalists, Mesut Ozil, because he didn't show up in the first half. And I know some people will say, well, if you don't get the ball to him, he's not going to show up. Well, point of being that quality and high level of player is sometimes you have to go and get the ball yourself and make it happen yourself. Maybe he's not that type of player, but sometimes you've got to do that, and that's where he'll get criticism. And I did think first half he may as well have not been on the pitch with quite a few other players. Second half he was much better and tried to make things happen more. So that was encouraging, but
it's essentially that grip the game and take hold of it yourself rather than waiting.
Yeah, I mean, he's no Frank Lampard or Steven Gerrard, that kind of midfield player. He's not going to do that, or for an Arsenal comparison like a Patrick Vieira. But, you know, Dennis Bergkamp is the closest comparison you can have in terms, I think, of an Arsenal shirt. And Dennis could take charge of a game. If things weren't happening, the rest of the team weren't playing well, he would go and get the ball and make things happen. And I don't think Mesut did that enough today. And if you are going to be the star in a team, and, okay, he doesn't dictate his price that he cost the club or anything else, but there's a reason he cost that much money, because he is that good, and that's why you're going to get criticism when you don't play well enough. So I think first half he didn't do enough. Second, he was much better. But I don't see sitting back when we're 3-2 is a good option, just because it just looked like we were going to concede another goal if we just kept giving the ball up.
I think that's probably fair. Sorry, I was just writing the chat box to take the mick out of you, so I'll just do that now. Carl, at that point in time then, so as we are 3-2 up now, we've gone through that period of time in which, in my opinion, we could have gone on to try and get a four, so that sort of 20-minute period. And then the substitutions in the 75th minute, Oxlade-Chamberlain for Campbell and Kieran Gibbs for Walcott. Now, the Gibbs for Walcott one, I do understand in that it's a regular change, isn't it? It's what he generally does. I maybe would have brought, whether it's a fitness thing, but I think the Arteta one, I would rather have seen that for Campbell at that stage and maybe gone into a Arteta-Ramsey-Flamini three holding midfielders sort of situation. Would you have gone with that? I mean, did you think, just Oxlade-Chamberlain, I just don't think this was the game that he needed to be coming on in, because I just don't think he's got confidence to do the simple things, and he barely did anything.
No, if you're trying to defend the game, bringing in on the Ox doesn't make sense to me. It really doesn't. I just think, I don't know, Ox is missing something from his game. I don't know what it is, confidence, ability, who knows? No, you know, Arsene Wenger hopefully knows, but at the moment, he's not the guy to bring on if you're wanting to protect a lead. I would have done the same thing. I would have gone three in the middle, and I would have said, okay, we're good enough. Well, hopefully we're good enough to defend, because they would just put the ball out wide and they would have pumped crosses into the box. That's all they would have done. So I would have gone three in the middle. You know, like I said, I always say this. Arsene Wenger gets paid $8 million a year. He probably knows more about football than I've forgotten. I don't know, maybe it was a fitness thing why he didn't bring Arteta on that early, or maybe he brought on Ox just to run at Liverpool defence. And there was one chance that he had, and I would think that the Ox is faster than Kolo Touré. And there was one point where he got the ball.
Danny's
faster than Kolo Touré. I am.
There was one point where he got the ball and he ran at Kolo Touré, and I'm screaming at the TV, run on the outside, run on the outside, you're going to beat him for pace. And he comes onto the inside when there's three Liverpool players on the inside, and you're thinking to yourself, is that a tactical thing? Is that a confidence thing? Like
decision making, isn't it?
Yeah, surely you must know that if he goes on the outside and he beats Kolo Touré for pace, he's off, he's away, and he doesn't do that. And you're, this is head, like I listened to on a pod. It's this head down mentality. Just put your head down and run. And you're thinking to yourself, you got to make better decisions. Like you're not a teenager anymore. Like you're an England international. You've got to make better decisions when you're needed to make them. And playing like that, I know people say he's not going to leave, and I don't think he will leave, but he's not going to fulfill his potential that he has, and he's got bags of it. He has, like, he could go on to be one of the best wide midfielders. That's what I think he is. People say his best position is in the centre. I can't see it because he's not good enough at ball retention or distribution or decision-making to play in the middle. That's just my personal opinion. I think he needs to play wide, but yeah, I just don't think he should have brought on the Ox at that point in the game.
Yeah, I think the Ox has been a little bit too busy doing his part-time Kid and Pay tribute act.
Just, yeah,
I don't think many people remember the Fieldhouse Party.
No, I don't think they will. Not many people are old enough.
They were the days.
What do you think of that, Danny? I mean, what, you know, people have given Arteta a lot of stick, wrongfully, and a lot of occasions, in my humble opinion, but surely he was the right man, given the fact that he knows the role, or if not him, if he's not 100% fit enough to do that period of time, Callum Chambers even? I mean, would you, I just thought, well, bring it.
Yeah.
Carl's got a point. I think the reason Ox come on was to offer pace on the break.
Yeah, because that should work.
Yeah, but if you don't know what you do with the ball, it's irrelevant, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, because I think we have now found the new replacement for Boué and Jovinho and all those other. I think it's going to be the Ox, and until he pulls his finger out. I just put in the chat box to all the wonderful listeners. I said that Theo Walcott and the Ox should look at what Campbell has done in the last 3 months, and they should either retire or man the fuck up and get on with it, because those two have been a shambles. Beginning of the season, Theo was good because he's playing up front, and I think there may be a slight little bit of stropping involved on Theo's behalf because he doesn't want to play as a winger. We all thought his days as a winger were over finished, and that if he couldn't play up front, then he was going to be on the bench, which is what had happened for most of the season. But with all of our left-hand sided players injured, I mean, it's hard for Theo because he's having to cut the one time in the second half when he had had the ball and it looked like he was going to do something, rather than going wide and then going round them that way or crossing the ball, he had to cut in, didn't he? Because he was playing, was he playing on the left, the wrong side?
Left side, yeah.
It's all getting mixed up in my head because him and Walcott and Campbell swapped sides, didn't they, in the second half?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, but poor Theo, it's never any good. I know some people like Perez can make a career out of cutting in on your right foot and doing stuff like that, but Theo hasn't got what it takes to do that, and he's probably not in the best of moods having to play out on the left wing. I mean, it'd be bad enough for Theo personally if he had to play on the right wing, because that's where he doesn't want to play there anymore, but let alone the left. But swapping them up every now and then isn't really going to do much, and I do feel for them, but those two need to just stop playing. Not play for us anymore because they're not doing it. And as also you said, Arteta, I think it was a bit of a shame that Arteta, he played 60 minutes midweek the weekend for the under-21s, played an hour, then came off. He came on today and he didn't. He looked like he was up for it, but then he was in the mix, wasn't he, when the ball went in.
And, yeah, he's nowhere near the actual incident, it has to be said. But
I think people need to remember. Go and get your Wikipedia out. Go and see what Arteta did for us and sacrificed his career, and do not start booing him because he's done so much for the club.
Oh, anyone that boos him is a moron, plain and simple. Mm. Just a fact.
I've got a moan about Arteta.
Go on.
Go on.
So funny. Just don't boo.
He was the man who should have been picking up Joe Allen, and he was nowhere near him. That's why, although Callum Chambers isn't particularly quick, I wouldn't have brought Arteta on, because all
of Chambers on.
I would have put Callum Chambers on for a start. Yeah, maybe you would have brought on Ox a little bit later, because I think Carl's right, you need that pace, and if you're taking Theo off, who You know, let's be honest, there was no point having him on the pitch because he didn't do anything. At least Ox gives you some sort of pacey option. But Callum Chambers played well in that position in, I can't remember the game now, was it Newcastle?
Sunderland,
maybe.
Probably both.
Northerners. Anything north of the Watford gap.
Anything north, north east, west.
I thought he had a good game, and Liverpool all game just ran straight through our midfield, right through the middle. And what can Mikel Arteta not do is run. So I don't see the point in bringing him on.
Plus, if you'd brought Chambers on, Chambers could have drifted in to help the central defenders out.
Exactly.
He's used to covering their right back and defensive midfield. It's easy for us to say this now after the fact.
But I just think putting Mikel Arteta on when we are getting run through the middle over and over again is a really stupid decision, as he can't do that job.
But if you put, but surely, I think the point I would say to that, or what I'd say against that, is like Carl said, if you put three of them in the middle, then you're tripling up. You say to Ramsey, right, you track the runners, and you say to Arteta and Flamini, you just protect the back four. So basically, anything that drops, you clear. Which I think he is more than capable of doing. And if you're going to say about, or like Danny, you said, if you look at a player coming in and support the defence, why not just bring on Gabriel, go to three centre-halves? But either way, we're all debating the one thing that, according to hundreds of Arsenal fans, we shouldn't have done. We should have gone for a fourth goal. So how many of you think that we should have still been attacking with 5 minutes to go? Any of you?
Oh, no, not with 5 minutes left. You still got to take chances on the break, but.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying you should. You know, I'm not saying you should sort of sit on your goal line and go, right, we're not giving you the ball back, and that's that.
Well, I think we should try and get Jermaine Defoe because he's the Premier League's top goal scorer this year.
Big Jermaine. To be fair, Danny, I think you could score against Swansea.
Hey, we should have been more clever with the ball, I think.
That's exactly right, Carl. Yeah. I think that's
where. Hold on to it, take it to the corners.
But people are saying that.
But hitting it down the channel for Oxlade-Chamberlain to run onto is fine. And, you know, the fact is that when we start defending, Oxlade-Chamberlain basically does become the striker because Giroud drops in the middle so much anyway. Yeah. He drops back so deep to help defend, which is brilliant. And it's amazing he does that. But we didn't use, every time we got a chance for a break, we didn't use the ball properly.
Well, what I'd like to see, and I know a few people have mentioned this, and we've talked about the return of Alexis potentially, maybe this weekend or soon. Now, for my money, Joel Campbell has done more than enough to keep his place in that starting 11.
And get a new contract.
And get a new contract, yeah. We'll cover that when John gets his T-shirt. But he, for me, starts. And for me, the one that drops out of the side right now is Walcott. And I think you put Definitely. Alexis on the left-hand side. And the good thing about that is that when you are in a game like this, what would have been ideal tonight is if we could have brought Theo Walcott on with 20 minutes to go up front and said to Giroud, right, you drop into the Mesut hole.
At the beginning of the season.
Exactly. You drop into the Mesut hole, you know, and if you're going to replace Mesut, for example, you drop into that hole, Giroud, and you win the flick-ons and Theo's pace, because then Liverpool don't have the freedom that they had to push, well, really, all of their defenders to the halfway line. And they could just bombard us, like Carl said, with long balls. So I think that's... And if, you know, I like all of our players. I don't want to slag anyone off, but I'm with John on Theo Walcott. If Walcott got as much stick as people give Giroud for missing clear opportunities, I mean, Christ almighty, you know, there's a bit of a bias there in players that certain people just like, because his end product is just... It's so erratic. And if he wants to play through the middle and he wants to be a centre forward, I'm sorry, but 2 months out of a season of scoring a couple of goals against some lesser sides, for me, is that doesn't make you a centre forward. There's no way. So
there is an alternative to hitting it long for Walcott. We could always, like the rest of the team, could play football properly and just not give a
yeah.
resort to that.
There is something I want to get your thoughts on, actually, with all of your thoughts on this season. Is it just me, or do we seem to be, for a side that thrives and has its name out there as a footballing side and a possession side and a team that love to play football, this season in particular, we do seem to panic in possession a bit more. Do you agree with that, John? Do you think that that's the case sometimes?
A little bit. I think we don't keep the ball as much now. Santi's not in the team. That makes a difference in the middle. We changed the style slightly when Coquelin came in and was playing more regularly as well, because we were pressing higher up the pitch, and that was sort of win the ball back quickly and try and get a goal from there. And I think Mesut and the key sort of big players for us this season aren't exactly possession and tiki-taka style footballers. You know, Alexis Sanchez is very much an individualist. Ozil is take a touch and play the ball as fast as possible, you know, because he's already seen the pass. Ramsey likes to carry the ball or be on the end of things. We haven't really got those sort of little interchange players, so maybe that's part of the reason why. I'm not sure if it's... There's also been a sort of a shift in the league that possession football that was sort of in vogue for a little while with some of the smaller teams like Swansea and... smaller teams. They're not smaller teams. They're just different trophy-less clubs or whatever. Fuck knows how you say it without being insulting. You know, the lower down the league clubs that tend to be low down the league were more possession-based for a few years, and now they've all sort of switched back to more like you see Leicester doing, where they press and just hit the long ball and go on the counter quick, and they pressure you, so you don't have the time on the ball that perhaps you used to do a few years ago. So maybe that's why there's been a bit of a change in that.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point.
Can I mention something in the chat box that the listeners are typing in?
You can.
The man of wisdom, Dan George, he was saying that he liked, like Tom was saying, that he likes the fact that on the left-hand side, Monreal defends, Sanchez attacks. On the right-hand side, Campbell can defend, and then Bellerin can attack. And he says when having those sort of back will balance, I think he said balance the team out perfectly, which is, I know, something that Tom pointed out. And until Tom pointed out to me a year ago, I'd never really thought about it, but that makes so much sense balance-wise, because we saw tonight that Theo cannot damn defend. He's never been known. I mean, it took, how long did it take him and Sanya to get some kind of, you know, a system working together where they were, where Theo would even try and cover Sanya if he... Or I'll go back to saying Sagna. I preferred it when it was Sagna. Sanya, when he was, on the occasions he went forward, Theo would just, there'd be nobody at right back, and then we'd have to get one of those centre backs pulling across the right back to try and defend for him. So when we have that, because it's going to be rest of the season, it's going to be Sanchez left, Campbell right, Coquelin in the middle, we're going to be sorted, because then Theo... Oh, hello, Ron. Yeah, so then Theo's going to be coming on as a striker, and then when, on the odd occasion when Theo does start the game, Giroud is going to be on the bench, punching the floor, getting angry. So when he comes on, he's well worked up to go and come on and score goals. So I just think, give it a couple of weeks. I mean, it's amazing that we are where we are, considering we've got half of our best part of our team not playing in the right positions or injured.
Yeah, 3 points on that very quickly. Firstly, I'm going to give Dan's surname a stab at Vysingy.
No, it's Wisniewski.
Okay. Do correct us, Dan. Yeah. Also, your point on Theo defending, do you know what? I don't even think it's about learning how to defend, because
can't
I think...
Can't be bothered.
No, I don't think it's that. I think any footballer with half a brain, if I can teach a load of Sunday League players how to defend, I don't think it's how to defend. It's more importantly about how to position yourself when defending, and it's learning positional sense, because if you're on the wrong side of your man, for example, or if you send a winger inside rather than outside, they're very basic things. Nacho Monreal is one of the best... to be honest, I've ever seen as a fullback for sending his man wide rather than inside. Not always, in fairness, but more often than not, his body position is absolutely fantastic. And I wonder if maybe Theo Walcott, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain and co could do a good job. Alexis is another one, very good at tracking back and getting his body position in the right place. So, and it's also being able to put yourself in a position where if the ball hits you, you're immediately facing where you need to go with it. If you're running back towards the goal, you then have to turn your whole body around when winning the ball and then go again. And it immediately means you're 2 or 3 seconds behind the player you've dispossessed. I just also want to make a point about what you said about the injuries. Luckily, some of our viewers don't have to watch sport on BT. God bless you, because I'd rather not, because they are utterly moronic half the time. But they were all banging on pre-game about how injuries, Liverpool is injury crisis. Should we not just take a step back for a second and say, we've done bloody well to be top of this league, when we've essentially lost the player that we could not afford to lose because the Emirates would fall to pieces if
one
we did.
One of the best players in the Premier League by a country mile.
Agreed. We've lost Santi Cazorla, who, whether you're for or against him in the side, gives us discipline, a balance.
Keeps the pigeons off the crossbar.
Absolutely. And sets the tempo and his experience. Let's not forget that. We've lost our captain, who, obviously I know a lot of people disagree with how Arteta is, but he's still a leader on the pitch. He's still a player that younger players look up to. And we've blooded a player that, let's be perfectly honest, nobody wanted, who's now becoming a first-team regular. So I'll come to all of you on this one. Carl, do you want to start us off? Do you think maybe we should just take a step back from tonight and go, yeah, we're all disappointed, but... we're doing pretty well, aren't we?
We are, but we should have won. I'm sorry, I can't get it out of my system that we should have won that game. yeah, we are going for an injury crisis at the moment, and you know, as soon as we get our players back, I think we'll be flying. You know, it will be like a new signing. You know, hopefully we get them back very, very soon. You know, I think we're missing Jack. We're missing that drive that he will just pick up the ball from midfield, turn and run. You know, there's not many people in our team that actually do that.
Rosicki as well. What a game he would have been, a sub coming on tonight, in my opinion.
It would have been brilliant. You know, if we had Sanchez in that squad, you know, I think we would have gone on to win. So for us to be top of the table with the injury crisis that we have, we're doing extremely well. You know, the team pretty much at the moment picks itself, and I want Arsene Wenger to have that problem, to have too many people to pick from. You know, when we have a full squad, you know, does Campbell keep his place in the squad? You know, you just don't know. But that's a good problem to have. And I think that Arsene Wenger will have a problem picking the squad when, if we ever have all our players back.
If, yeah.
So we'll see. But yeah, to go back to your original point, yeah, we are doing very, very well with our injury crisis. It's just weird that at the moment we've got no defensive injuries. It's all like midfield and up front. So
you've got to have done it now, haven't you? You know what will happen now at the weekend. They'll all get bloody splinters in their arse or something and be out for 6 weeks. John, just pick up on that point. What's your, you know, as I say, trying to put aside tonight, you know, whether, like Carl says, you know, there's no denying we should have won the game, or, you know, you certainly feel disappointed not to have. But we're still very much in control of this title race. I'm going to cover the other team's fixtures in a minute. But do you think maybe people should just take a step back after the frustration and go, it's okay, we're still top of the league, we're still in control?
Yeah, no, it's fine to say we're top of the league, that's great. I think tonight, no, go out, get drunk, fight, you know, kill some scousers, stamp on some heads, be annoyed, you know, punch your wife, punch your husband, whatever you want to do, get your frustration out, that's all good.
Don't kick the cat, though.
No, actually, kick the cat, don't hurt the dogs, though. Leave the dogs alone, dogs are nice, cats are assholes.
No!
But no, you know, we're top of the league, and that's great. The frustration for me is that I think this league is pretty shit, to be honest. And the simple fact is that we should be a lot more points higher than we are. So not that we can change our position, but further away from other teams. And that's what annoys me. So yeah, you know, but the injuries we've got, it's not really surprising. Is it? We get them every season. So yeah, I don't like using that as an excuse either. That annoys me.
Yeah, fair enough. Danny, I know we quarrel a lot, but I do love you. In a non homosexual way, and not that there's anything wrong with that either. But
you want to be mummy.
I don't even paint that picture. Seriously, keep
glad
you
didn't have an answer for that immediately, because that'll worried me.
That's worrying. But you are
laughing. Yeah, he's laughing.
you are AVW's biggest cynic. You know, you always think the worst. But I mean, what do you make of the season so far? I mean, we've still got to be favourites, haven't we? I mean, again, I'll cover the other teams in a second, but no other team is suggesting to me that they're gonna put a run together that's gonna topple us at the moment.
Well, friend of the pod, Peter N, who is at Guna1947, and that is the year he was born, he says, lots of negativity about about following the game. Can I ask for three positives from tonight? I'll start off with one. We are top of the league.
Thank you, Peter.
And I replied with, Giroud's hair looked good in the rain, sleet and snow.
Peter is clearly a man after my own heart. He talks a lot of sense.
He certainly
like that.
Does. Yeah. He's a wise man.
He is. Should we look at the other team's fixtures then and see where we are? So let's have a look at our next couple first. So in the Premier League, we play Stoke City away at the weekend, which I think we'll win comfortably, by the way.
Stoke are currently seventh in the Premier League with, in their last six games, three wins, a draw and two losses.
And they're not the Stoke that we have feared previously. So as long as it's not too windy, I think we've got everything to go there and win.
But Shaqiri will score from the halfway line.
We'll see. We're then at home to the West London poverty case. Then at home to Southampton, away at Bournemouth, at home to Leicester. Now, that's five fixtures that, you know, nothing particularly scares me, but we've been here before, so let's not predict results.
Southampton will beat us 4-0 again.
Don't even go there. Leicester, so they are away at Villa. That's 3 points.
Villa won last night, didn't they? They're back on it. They're back in. Well, it's on.
Title charge. So away at Leicester on a Saturday evening kickoff. Away at Villa. Then home to Stoke, home to Liverpool, away to Manchester City, which is a massive game for both. Manchester City are home to Palace, away at West Ham, away at Sunderland, home to Leicester, home to Spurs. And just for the laugh of it, I put Spurs in as well. Home to Sunderland, away at Palace, away at Norwich, home to Watford, away at Man City.
I had my mate Lee, who's a dirty Tottenham fan. He was round here the other night with his son, and we were just talking about the football. I went, you do know that when you go to Leicester on Wednesday, they're going to beat you, and then they're going to beat you in the replay. He said, no, they won't.
That was at home. They lost tonight as well.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, 1-0 at home. I don't know who scored the goal. Was it one of the mighty two?
Robert Huth.
Oh, of course it was, yeah, because the bloke on the commentary on BT went, Arsenal now 4 points clear, and they went, and then I think someone told him that he'd only just read out the fact that Huth had scored. And they went, well, Arsenal are 2 points clear.
that cultured centre-half, Robert Huth. But let's just have a bit of a, you know, just ask you all your opinions. John, what do you, looking at those fixtures, the two that stand out, ironically, are not Arsenal fixtures, the two that stand out to me are Tottenham, Man City and Leicester, Man City. What do you think? Where would you want us to be in 5 weeks? Obviously, top of the league, but any of those fixtures stand out?
You've beaten
the
punch there.
Yeah.
A year ago, you'd wait for him to play there.
So Stoke away. Was it Chelsea?
Stoke away, Chelsea home, Southampton home, Bournemouth away, Leicester home.
Stoke. It depends if Arnautovic, Bojan, and Shaqiri decide to play like they're supposed to be amazing world-class players on the day, then it might be difficult. If they play to their actual normal consistent ability of being kind of bang average, then we should beat them. Chelsea, unfortunately, looks like they might be all right now. Starting to get better.
Although they drew West Brom at home tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Yeah, but didn't we draw with West Brom, or did we lose?
No, we lost away, but at home...
Well, there you go. Well, we lost to West Brom and we got beat by Southampton, who have been pretty shit all season, 4-0. So,
fair point.
Someone's admiring your shirt, Chris. Adrian says, "Love Chris's jersey. He's obviously American because it's a shirt."
It's the circa whatever year the
2006.
It was the shirt, the replica that it wasn't actually a replica because someone had colourised the picture.
It's a jumper. Yeah. It's a training top, but yeah.
But yeah, the Chelsea game, you know, that's always going to be difficult. And Leicester at home, depending on who's fit, could still be difficult because we don't like playing against teams that put pressure on us and press us up the pitch, which is exactly what Leicester do. Because I expect them to press and be sort of high like Liverpool were pressing us tonight. So those two. I'd like to think... what's that? So that's how many points can we get out of that? Maths, 15.
I never like doing this because we've done this twice before and it's backfired in our face. So,
like 12, 13 points. That'd be great. But
yeah,
I don't know. You know, it's difficult to call because you don't know in 5 games' time who's going to be fit, who's going to be available, and for those teams as well. But yeah, they're the two big games out of the next five.
Yeah. Carl, do you think it's a case of, we've touched on the fact that this is a pretty average Premier League, in fairness, which I should say right at this point, I don't care if we win it. I don't care if it's average or terrible. I still want to win it. Do you think it's more about what we do and lay a marker down? Every time this season so far that we've had an opportunity to pull away or to take advantage of other slips, we haven't done. So do you think now that that's got to happen, or do you still think we can rely on others to slip up while we just sort of do enough in the next 5 games?
No, we can't be looking at what other people do. We can't be looking at other results. We just got to concentrate on what Arsenal do. We can't think like, oh yeah, Leicester are playing Man City, you know, one of them's got to lose so we can pull away from one of those. Forget the rest. We just worry about what we do. And sometimes I think it's almost a hindrance playing at different times to other teams, because sometimes, I know people say that the footballers don't look at their results, but of course they do. Like, if we play on 5:30 on a Saturday and the other teams are played 3 o'clock or 12:30, of course we're looking at the other results thinking, oh, you know, they've dropped points there, so it won't be too bad if we lose. And that's what I think their problem is. We need to just forget about everyone else. At the end of the day, if we win all our games, we win the league. It's simple as that. And obviously, you know, we're going to drop points, but we win our games, we win the league. We have some difficult games coming up, and I know what you said, Chris, but I think Stoke away, that's not going to be an easy game.
I agree.
I genuinely don't. If we play like we played tonight, we will get beat. There's no doubt about that.
Too open, yeah.
You know, because as much as they're not Stoke of old anymore, they're not the rugby team that they used to be. They actually do play football now. Chelsea at home, for the first time in a while, I'm not worried about Chelsea at home. Like, I genuinely think if we turn up, we'll steamroller them. And I genuinely think that, like, I hope they play John Terry, like, centre back, because we will just absolutely pull him apart. We will. Southampton at home, surely they can't play any worse than they played away to Southampton. And I know it's probably wrong, but revenge should be in their mind. They must be thinking, they beat us 4-0. We've got to get our revenge back.
Yeah.
And then Bournemouth away. Again, you know,
it's look not what West Ham did.
Yeah, so you're hoping, I think we will beat them. But, you know, Arsenal don't play well at them small grounds where the crowd's right on top of you, and they're going to play a high-pressing game against us as well. You know, whether they can keep it up for the whole game, which Liverpool couldn't either, I don't think so. But with our fixtures and not looking at anyone else's, at the end of, say, February, in a month's time, I think we should still be top, you know, because you are looking at between Leicester and... I'm not worried about Tottenham. Sorry, I don't care about them. You are looking at Man City and Leicester playing each other. One of them has got to take some points from them. And, you know, if you had to put a gun to my head and say, who do I want to win that game right now? I would say Leicester. You know, because you're still looking at Man City. You just know that they have the potential to put a run together to get to the top of the league, and everyone's saying that Leicester's going to drop off. We haven't seen it yet, and we're still just hoping. We're still thinking, you know, oh, they're going to drop off soon. They're going to drop off soon. I have a question for all of you. At what point in the season, if they haven't dropped off, do you then start honestly taking them as serious title contenders?
I'll start, and then I'll give it to Danny. At what point do you take them serious? It's March for me. I think it's there's so many games so close together in January and February, and I think that teams with experience get through January, February, and then March, you're basically running through March and April is your real running, is when you've got to put your run together, and we have done before. So for me, if they're still up there in March, that's when I take them seriously. Danny, what do you think?
4, 5, 6 games to go, depending on
that.
Yeah, because it's, well, you're on about when am I confident that we're going to win it?
No. When would you take Leicester's charge seriously? So if they're still up there...
I thought it meant when I was just tweeting out, Ron Paul Swede's done his first ever blog, so I was just tweeting it to people. If they're in that position, it'd have to be, I reckon, 2 or 3 games from the end of the season. If anyone else is in with a chance of catching them, I think Leicester players, none of them have ever been in this position before, have they? So
no,
I think that's got a lot to do with your previous history and the manager. He's done stuff in other countries, the Tinkerman, or the non-Tinkerman, as he should now be called.
With
a handful of games to go.
Can I just ask you something, just before I come to John? I'm one of those people that thinks Leicester will fall away. I am, and I won't change my view on that at this stage. But... what I want to know for you, Danny, there is a few players in their squad that have experience winning things. You look at Christian Fuchs, you look at Robert Hoos.
Are there any?
You look at Gökhan Inler. You look at the boy at United. Okay, Drinkwater. I mean, he didn't win anything at United as a team player, but he was in and around it. Okazaki's played at World Cups. Just looking at any others. So there are a few. And more importantly than that, their manager. knows what it's like to win a Premier League title. Not just a title, a Premier League title. Actually, or did he win it? Did he?
No, I don't think he did.
No, he's never won a title.
But he knows
what it's been up and around there.
But he knows what it's like to, yeah, exactly. He knows what it's up to be up there. So, I mean, do you think that experience, are we, you know, are we
not enough to stop the panic stations?
No, I agree with you.
I don't know what it's like when I'm playing 4-6 online and I'm in the top three with a half a lap to go. I always end up spinning it out. Or when I was beating John, I shit my pants and ended up not winning. So that, I think with experience, that helps you. But they're just going to... I think, to answer his question, I think even with as little as 2 or 3 games to go, I could still see them being caught or them having losing 3 games in a row. Because it's a long season. They're not a massively strong squad, are they? They are kind of relying on 3, maybe 4 players.
Yeah.
Oh, what a goal.
Don't spoil it. I'll watch it later. John, what do you reckon to Carl's question? I mean, how late do you leave it before you say, right, Leicester are genuine? I they're title contenders as we speak because they're up there, so you can't poo-poo them. But how late do you think we actually, as Arsenal fans, go, no, they really are serious contenders now? How late can it go?
I already am, but...
No, that's fine. No, you tell everybody
why. I know lots of people laugh at me because I know a lot of people are sort of the same opinion as you guys that they'll probably drop off, but my opinion is that they've played, you know, all of the best teams in the league and all the rubbish. They're level points with us now, aren't they? We're both on 43, aren't we?
Yeah.
They're there for a reason, and their owner has a lot of money, and if they need to go and get some players this month, then they can go and get them, and they've got money to spend. And if you are someone who is an average or an above average player in another league, you can go and join Leicester, go for a title push, and get paid loads of money for it, because there's so much money flying about in the Premier League. So yeah, I take them seriously.
Do you think they
went through that whole sticky period where they had to play us, City... No, sorry, not us. It was like City, Liverpool, United. They had like Chelsea. They had like a run, a really horrible run of like 8 games. And I don't think they dropped. They didn't lose a game in that entire run. So they went through the whole bit with where they apparently were going to dip off and just disappear from the top. So I don't think you can write them out of the title at all.
Do you think that the money to spend, Ranieri has come out and said that the transfer dealings is done, that he doesn't want to bring anybody else, which of course he would say. Do you think maybe that there's not a conflict, but do you think possibly the Leicester owners are going to sit here now and think, maybe this is, we'll never get a better opportunity, shall we go out and get 3 or 4 more and really push? Irrespective of what Ranieri says about 40 points, he's got to be sat there now thinking, we can do this.
No, because he's not that type of manager. He's always been you go from game to game, whatever club he's been at, and it's always been, this is what's going to happen this game, and then we'll think about the next game afterwards, and that's how we finish it. As for the owners, they had a plan to get into the Champions League places within 5 years. If they achieve that early, that's fine, but all their structure and their wages and budget and everything else and their spending has all been laid out so that within 5 years' time, there will be a Champions League club, and then they have a certain time frame for them to be stable in the Champions League and then go on to challenge for league titles. If they do that ahead of time, it's fine, but they're still going to run on that time frame. So I think it's just a case of if there's an opportunity for them, they'll go and spend money, but I don't think they'll be tempted to go and waste money, say like Leeds did all those years ago.
Portsmouth.
And they, you know, got all the way to the, was it semi-final, wasn't it? And, you know, and then it really shot themselves in the foot by all the money they lost the next season.
Yeah.
So, I think they'll push it most of the way. I don't know if they'll win the league. I've got no idea. But I think they're definitely up there and fighting for it. So I don't think you can write them off.
No European football as well, of course, which you could dispute whether we will have in a month's time or not. But
I've got a saying for you that I've never heard before. You know Ron Paul Swede,
yeah.
And I'm just reading his blog, and he's put Theo Walcott, he gave him 6 out of 10 and put the comment, not much under the tree today. Have you ever heard that before? Is that a Swedish thing?
I think I've heard it before, but I don't know what it means.
I quite like that. I think it means Christmas
not
tree,
heard that one.
It?
Not much under the tree. Is it a Winnie the Pooh reference? Because he used to keep his honeypots under the tree.
I think it might be a Christmas present thing under the tree. And something else someone's tweeted me that made me laugh. Ryan G. He says, Oxlade Chamber Pot will go out on loan tonight after tonight? And then he's replied later with, no way will he and shouldn't, but he is lost. I thought, the Oxlade Chamber Pot, that's good. Because he's shit.
Shit the pot, very good. shall we take some questions, Danny, before we exit the building?
I wasn't looking.
Well, I'm asking you if you would like to take some questions.
Oh, right, you want me to go and get some?
Well, there's one already.
Cole's done one.
Yeah, there's one.
Oh, it is a Christmas thing, Ron Paul.
It is,
that's fantastic, I like that.
Right, so if anyone's got any questions, chuck them now, but we've got one from Carl straight away, so I'm going to ask... I'll ask John this and I'll answer it as well because I think we'll have two different opinions. So he said, why does Wenger give so much faith into or with aging or declining players more than he did in the past few years, e.g. he's put Piers, I hope he doesn't mean him, Pires, Gilberto, Freddie, etc. So what do you make of that, John?
I don't know why he got rid of players like those particular ones that you named. I've really got no idea, and I think many fans are always annoyed with that. You could chuck Vieira on that list as well. As for keeping them around for longer and signing ones of an older age, I think that was just down to the money, to be perfectly honest, and being restricted on who you can get. It would have been nice to keep some of those older players around for a bit longer because I think it would have helped us in that transition period that we were in, and maybe we would have won a trophy or two in those dry spells, but that's one of those things. I'm not sure if it's a trend that he'll keep on in the future. I was saying that he's only supposed to have one more year, isn't he? Well, yeah, we're probably the only aging player that we'll keep at the club probably will be Arsene Wenger.
Ouch. I would just add to that and say I think he gets a bit of stick for this season because Arteta only signed a contract when he proved his fitness, which at the time he did, and then of course it went wrong, which Arsene Wenger could have budgeted for it and bought another player. Yes, I'm not disputing that, but he agreed to keep Arteta based on the experience, on the fact that he'll probably be a coach with us and the fact that he's good in the dressing room. I don't actually think he expects him to play as many games as a lot of people think. Also, he only chose to keep Thomas Rosicki at the club because he thought he could add something, and then he got injured, which again I don't think he could have foreseen happening. And other than that, you know, Flamini, I think we were forced to keep as well because of the injuries to Wilshere and Arteta. So I don't think that was an option. So,
because we didn't go out and replace him.
Yeah. I'm not disputing that. We've done that to death. You know, we all know that he should have.
Just making sure in case anyone forgot.
Yeah. Absolutely. And if we had brought in Mohamed Elneny, for example, pre-season, then I think you could have had a much more grounds to say, well, we've kept these other players for experience. But it's a good question. Let's have another one then. John, do you want to look after questions? It's usually your job.
I'm typing them.
Oh, yeah, but John could read them out, you tit.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Oh, okay, Carl. Redford Oakley asks, with 6 of the top 10 to play away, I didn't know we had that, is our 3-point lead over City enough?
No. Personally, no, because it would be nice to think that we're going to win, you know, every game from now to the end of the season, but realistically, no. You know, away to Man United, we should beat them. Away to the scum up the road, I want to beat them. Whether we will or not, I don't know. Away to Man City, it depends if they've got Mangala in defence. Yeah, we'll beat them. If not, then
if they got the Mangala and who's the other one? We had to cut his hair.
Dimichelis.
What if they got the Mangala Dimichelis double?
Oh, you just be a walk out front and just pop balls over the top all the time. So Man City, yes. It depends who they got. Man United, yes. Scum, hopefully. And who else have got to play?
Leicester. Leicester, yeah, we've got
Leicester home. Leicester home, haven't we? And we beat them 5-2.
West Ham, is it? So... West Ham at home? No, we played them at home.
West Ham away, we got to play.
Played them away. That's always a tough game, especially... I mean, they're fifth now, aren't they? So.
And they've got Payet back as well.
Yeah, which is vital, really.
I think
vital.
Our problem is that we've got Barcelona at home in the Champions League, then we've got Man United away. And I think, you know, if we have a hard game against Barcelona, which obviously we will anyway, you know, will we have enough in the tank to play Man United?
Yeah, no, that's fair. It's going to be difficult. I think we said that before the Champions League draw, that we guaranteed those games, whoever we drew, it was going to be bang either side of a really difficult league game, and funnily enough it was.
Everyone giggling, it's boy Tendayo asking his usual stupid questions. Look at that last one. That's just for Chris.
I'll save that one for Chris at the end. Right, Dan George, surname who I'm not going to pronounce because I'll butcher it like Danny and Chris already done. Campbell first 11
easy
now.
Exactly right.
It's an easy quick question to everyone. For me, yes, he starts
100%.
As much as I'm not his biggest fan, but he's definitely in the first 11 right now.
For the rest of the season, for my money.
Yeah, I think the only way he gets displaced from the first 11 is if Jack comes back and shows the sort of form that we know he can have, and then Jack can play on the right-hand side, or maybe Jack plays in the middle and Ramsey goes right.
I wouldn't even do that, mate, to be honest.
So,
I think the only way you put, because then I think you affect the balance, I think the only way you put, Campbell out the side is if he gets an injury. Because I think if you start moving Ramsey back right...
Doesn't really affect the balance, because when we were playing our best football all season, Ramsey was playing right wing, wasn't he?
Yeah, fair.
I don't want him to play there, because I don't think it's not his position, but, you know,
The London Evening Standard at 12 minutes past 11, Mohamed Elneny signs for Arsenal.
Oh, well, it's only 13 days late.
We all knew it was coming, so it's not a big shock.
13 days late, Mohamed, well done.
The home office needs to be
annoyed with, I think.
The only one who have said that is the London Evening Standard. Are they trustworthy? I know the Metro isn't.
I think Arsene Wenger has alluded to it in his press match
conference. Oh, Jesus, I've got sounds. Don't want sound. Yeah, someone mentioned it in the chat window, so I just went and had a quick look.
Okay.
Right. Luca Quarter asks, who am I asking this? Danny, you can have this one. Why did Arsene Wenger take off Ozil off? That's bad, taking your best player off for Arteta. And what has Arteta done to come on for Mesut? And we really miss Alexis. I personally think title gone now. There you go. Get your brain around that.
Gone, does it? No way, not even close. Why did he take him off? Probably because the didn't like the rain. Didn't look happy, did he?
Rain.
It's probably just because we've been moaning for ages that over the Christmas period we need to take our best players off when the game is won. So
just
either like Chris, Wenger thinks it's June or July. Or I've got no idea. Probably maybe because he thought the game was done and bring on Arteta to be a little bit more defensively assured, which it didn't work.
We have to say, in all fairness, Mesut was ineffectual the last 15 minutes. He was knackered.
I thought he was pretty poor most of the game.
Yeah, he was. And
he had a 10-15 minute spell where he was very good.
Yeah,
and I agree. The ball he pulled out of the air from the sort of overhit pass from Oxlade Chamberlain was amazing.
But he does that. I mean, he does that when he gets out of bed, doesn't he? That's standard. But I didn't disagree with him coming off, and I could totally see why he came off, because other than creating chances, he's not going to offer you anything defensively, is he?
So the only argument you could have for keeping him on is in the games where we have struggled, he does run the ball up the pitch into the corner and keep hold of it quite well.
Yeah.
But I thought, to be fair, that Giroud was very good at holding the ball up today, tonight's game. So,
and also we should mention, for all of its history and tradition and honour and wonderment, Anfield's pitch is fucking terrible.
Their swimming pool.
It's a heavy, heavy surface. So some players, particularly the way Mesut glides, for example, I could see why he would have been more tired on a pitch like that than he would at the Emirates, where he could just sort of, you know, take a gentle trot upfield. So, yeah.
Domers, just a couple of things from our WhatsApp group. Dom says, we did an Arsenal, oh so predictable. And Fife says, Wenger will probably accept he fucked up on those subs. Such a shame. Why bring off Ozil? You could see he was gutted. We had chances to win the game long before. We needed a player for the now, though. There you go.
I'm paying attention, sorry, I'm not looking at my phone. Right.
The problem is that when he took off Ozil, personally, he should have put on a defender. I know if Arteta was coming on, he should have come on earlier in the game, but at that point, you've got to bring on a defender, because at that point, you take off Ozil, what was it, 8 minutes ago? Something like that.
87th minute, I think it was. It was that late.
So you're looking to protect that lead. So therefore, I would have brought on Gabriel and just made a five at the back. Bringing on a midfielder, what are you going to do at that point?
Yeah, it's actually thinking about it now, it's quite a good point.
Actually,
you've got Stephen Corker's come on, Benteke's come on. They're just
can we just say Stephen Corker? Okay, well,
I let you up front, but it allowed him to put more balls in the box.
He looked tasty, didn't he?
Oh, come on!
I couldn't get on Paddy Power quick enough to put a 10 on him to get a hat trick.
Oh, they've been talking about Subotic and they signed Stephen freaking Corker.
what happened in the game, though? They launch balls in the box and they get an equaliser.
I know, but it's still.
Carl makes a good point, though. If you bring on, say, like Gabriel or Callum Chambers, you've got more height in the box to deal with that sort of thing.
You know what would have happened though, John. We'd have brought on Gabriel, we'd have had three centre-backs all in position, and they'd have gotten each other's way and probably put the ball in their own arse.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he still would have popped it up and really arsenaled it. But yeah.
Couldn't we have got Gabriel to watch videos of Gilberto during the whole game and then sent him on with 10 minutes to go?
Just like smashing people.
There you go. Get in there, son.
One from Everything Rude Everything. It's a question to me. Can Joel become a legend? Will you get a tattoo of his face if he wins us the league?
on your whole chest.
Like. No, I will not be getting a tattoo of Joel Campbell. I think the agreement from the last radio show was that I will have a t-shirt on that says I love Joel if we win the league.
Joel Schumacher, so that doesn't count.
And then I've got to wear another one at the start of next season if he's still at the club, if he's got a new contract or whatever, because I still think it'll be sold in the summer. But
Are you a large or a medium? Because I will get the T-shirt bought.
I haven't decided yet. It depends how much exercise I do between now and the end of the season.
I keep eating
to get over the depression. Right. Boy Tendio, does Welbeck have any role to play at this club, or should he be moved on? Chris?
Should who?
Welbeck. Does he have any role to play at Arsenal, or should he be moved on?
Of course he does. Of course he does. That's
he's good on the Snapchat, isn't he?
Yeah, very, very good. No, I mean, look, you know, we've all been like this as fans. Unfortunately, when players are out injured for a long time, we forget how good they are. We forget how much of a role they have. I think Danny Welbeck he's never going to be a 25, 30 goal a season striker, and he's never going to be on the Ballon d'Or list. But what he is going to do is provide good quality backup for or rotation for the centre forwards. I would put more money on Danny Welbeck finishing in Theo Walcott in front of goal, by the way.
United away, that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, absolutely, and he offers genuine competition. That, you know, he's got an injury. He has been out for a season. Well, newsflash: Aaron Ramsey was out for a whole season with a broken leg. Then he had a terrible season, and then he became our best player ever for a season. So I mean, you know, he's got plenty to offer if he gets fit. Now, what I would say is the caveat to that is, you know, I still think we should be in the market for a wide forward or a forward. But to write him off just because he's got an injury, in that case, every player that gets injured, just sell them all. Sell them for scrap. You know, it's stupid. He played his way into Arsenal fans' hearts, I think, last season, particularly at Old Trafford. I think I'd keep Welbeck. And the only way I'd get rid of him is if he can't get back to the form he showed before his injury.
Fair enough.
Have you got your ego to hand? Because Ariane Hidari says, can't help but look, Chris looks like
that.
CM Punk.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
Has that made you a happy old man?
I wish I was in the shape he's in. I'll say that much. Sadly, I'm not.
Or even as half as tall as him.
Oi! Oi, if I want a Rolex, I'll come to you, Welsh.
Right. Brendan O'Donoghue, sort of coming on from that point, actually, you made about Weidman. This one's Carl. Should we be looking more for a winger than a striker? Walcott and Ox is put in brackets. Walcott and Ox, not so great out wide.
Yes, I don't think we have enough wide men in our squad. Everyone that we have tends to sort of play centrally. It's like even when Alexis plays, as much as I love Alexis, you know what he's going to do. He's going to run and run and run, cut inside. Run and run and run, cut inside. You know, you know what he's going to do. You very rarely see Alexis go to the byline and pop one in. Like, you never really see that. During the summer, I was dreaming about Draxler. I wanted him badly. I don't think he's doing the best in the German league at the moment. But I still would take him. Like, if we could get him in the summer, I would take Julian Draxler. I think he's one of the perfect footballers that would fit into Arsenal. I really do. And apart from getting Thomas Muller, who, you know, we're not going to get, you know, there's not many very good inside forwards that would fit the Arsenal mode. And I just don't want to have a player and play them in the wrong position to try and play them into that position. I'd rather get a player who is moulded into playing in that position and play them in the correct position. I know it's a weird concept, but, you know, buy a player who is a wide right forward. Buy a player who is a wide left forward. You know, just do it.
Nabil Fekir. Carl, can I ask you a question on that? Just very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
If, paint you two scenarios, this January right now, okay? If a player was available now for, well, let's not say available necessarily, but if there was a player who expressed an interest in moving, would you go out and pay over the odds for a player now and not have that budget to use in the summer where realistically more targets could open up? Or would you keep your powder dry in January, see if we could win the league, and then still go all out in the summer? Which would you rather do? But also bear in mind that if you get one now, it can go Arshavin, or it could go Luis Suarez, for example. Liverpool brought him in January, I think they did it anyway. So which would you preferably do?
I would buy it now because this league is so poor. I don't think we're going to have a better chance of winning the league than we will now. Plus, it's the Euros the Euros in the summer. So anyone half decent, add 10 million onto their price tag because they are going to go through the roof if they have a half decent tournament. So I would rather get them early rather than having to pay over the odds in the summer for them.
Yeah, fair enough. Would either of you, Danny or John, do anything differently? Would you?
No, take the punt now. I hate waiting. It's so annoying because what happens is we finish the season, we go, oh, if we're just going to spend a bit of money or gone to go for that player or make this move.
I should caveat that and say I'm not talking about, you know, buying a 10, 15 million pound player. I'm saying you go balls out and you go to...
Yeah, go and spend the money. It's not mine. I couldn't give a fuck.
Okay.
Unlike Wenger, we don't have shares in the club, and a percentage of the money we don't spend goes back in our pocket in brown envelopes.
See, I would rather get another. Let's just assume El Nene is done.
Say the opposite to everyone else.
No. I am, but I'm going to justify why. If you say that El Nene is done, which, you know, barring the shouting, it is, and you say to me, right, we could also go out in January and get another experienced, you know, forward or an experienced midfielder who can just come in and do a job. So, like Kjellstrom would have been before he got injured, for example, I would rather do that. And, you know, because I think what we've got now is enough to win this league. So I would rather do that in the summer that you've got a European Championships, and then I would go in between the end of the season and the start of the Euros. That's when I would go balls out to a Lyon for a Fekir, or, you know, to another club of a player that you really, really want. And so,
you know what I do then if I'm Lyon and I've got one of those players? I go, come back to me after Euros when that player's value's gone through the roof.
Oh, double. Yeah. We turn around and say, well, no, it's take it or leave it. And let's be honest.
And then they'll just go, okay, because someone else will come and buy him.
Well, that's where you've got to deal with Man City and Chelsea. I agree with you there. But if you go to a club like Lyon, you say, here's 45 million for a player that's been out for 12 months with an injury, they're going to snap your hand off. If they were willing to take less than 20 million for Lacazette, which they were looking for 50 last summer, then they're going to take that. However, if, like Carl says, you go to Bayern Munich and you say, I want Thomas Müller, Bayern Munich are going to say, yeah, no worries.
All of your money and your ground.
150 million quid and a deposit on a Merc for all of the staff, and we'll talk. So it's a tough one, but sorry, I hijacked that.
Aaron Ramsey's just done a nice tweet. He says, thanks to all the fans who travelled up. Gutted not to be sending you home celebrating 3 points. See you Sunday. It's nice of him.
It's because Rambo's a complete gent, that's why.
He is.
Love him.
Right, shall I get through the rest of these questions quickly? Because I'm sure we're boring people now. Right, one for Danny. Thomas Shelley asks, should we give Chambers a run of games before Cock comes back?
Yes. Yeah, what? I think he could do it with a few games because he's Flamini's good, but Flamini's not brilliant, and I'm a fan of the Flame, so yeah, I think he should get some more games. Like tonight, he should have come on with maybe 20 minutes to go. Actually, as soon as we went 3-2 up, he should have come on.
Well, good shout, yeah. I think he was good in the game he started the other day. I'd like to see him give another chance in the middle. One just for Chris, Boitendio. Should we pay 80 million quid for Lukaku?
No.
Don't.
Next question.
Is that what you want to say on it?
Wouldn't even pay 40 million for him.
All right, Wenger, kill your bones.
I just wouldn't. He's having a fantastic season.
Career.
Right? Season. And he is a very, very talented centre forward.
He was quite good last season, I think.
And the season brought out at West Brom. He was
also terrible at Chelsea.
Let's poke him and make him dance.
Listen. It's not about necessarily about the player. It's about the style that we play. It's about a player fitting our ethos. It's about a player fitting how we play football. And I don't think he fits. He hasn't got many goals against big sides. He generally performs a lot better at home than he does away from
home. Little teams, don't we? So that's what we need.
Trying to justify why I wouldn't pay for it. Anyway, I would not take Lukaku over Giroud. And I know somewhere in America, Mr. Jason Schrader is going, yep, yeah, I agree. And he loves Lukaku.
Not.
But
would you have Lukaku and Yaya Toure for 5 million each? They both.
I wouldn't have Yaya Toure for 20 quid and a packet of Mars bars. Seriously, the guy can go fuck himself. Honestly, that man's ego is bigger than my house. Man is ridiculous.
Moving swiftly on.
I wouldn't.
Duca has asked, do you think Man City can win the Premier League? I don't know if you're a troll or not, but I will answer your question.
No, actually not. I think that's a serious person.
Okay. Yes, I do think they can win the Premier League. I think, for me, I hate to say it, but I think they've got the best squad. I think Man City's problem is that the players, most of the time, can't be bothered. I think if they wanted to, they'd walk the league, to be perfectly honest.
They need the spine of their team to play every game, which they don't.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to spend money, John?
I don't know. They might, maybe in defence, because they've got so many injuries and companies now out for the rest of the season, they reckon, don't they?
I think they could get a striker in. I'm very worried they're going to get a striker.
They'll just go and buy all the best players.
But there's talk that the Sané deal might actually go through, which would be amazing for the amount of money that they're going to spend.
It's a
big gamble. Barca as well was one of the clubs linked with him, 6-year deal or something. That seems even more bizarre, but I don't know. It's weird, Man City, because they've got the players to do it. They just don't turn up.
They do also have Wilfred Bonny, though, so... Ouch.
It's true. He's not that bad. He's okay. But go back
to Swansea.
Matthew Mandroina. Mandroina? I'm probably putting an accent on that for no reason. Rest Rambo, given the abuse he gets at Stoke? Chris?
God no! No, he'll thrive on that. Absolutely thrive on that. He'll have a captain's performance without an armband. We all know that people in Stoke can't afford an education, let alone electricity. So,
quick hello to any Arsenal fans living in Stoke.
Well, obviously Arsenal fans. Right? No, but I mean,
well, they won't be listening. They don't have electricity out there, do they?
Stoke as a club, my best mate is actually a Stoke fan, so there you go. But Stoke have changed their style, and you know, credit where it's due, Mark Hughes has changed their style. Their fans are still fucking idiots. That will never change. So they will still boo Aaron Ramsey, they'll still mimic Arsene Wenger, but when we've come off the pitch beating them 3-0 or 4-0, they can all shove it. So no, I'd pick Rambo and get him out there, and I'm sure he'll thrive on the booze personally. And sorry, boy, Ted Dio. He said I'm from Stoke.
Yeah, so anyone who's got a problem with any of the comments there, please send your mail to. Right, Phil Simmons, it's not a question, he just says, El Nene has done one thing no one else has accomplished, allowed the ITK crowd to be right for once. Very true. Redford Oakley, what if Campbell has triplets and has to carry around that many dummies slowing his top speed?
What's known in the trade as doing a Sterling?
Oh dear, that's...
Should have had a penalty tonight, by the way, wait till you see that one.
I'm watching it now.
John Stones absolutely takes out Raheem Sterling. It's the most blatant penalty in the 95th minute.
I'm in my element. I'm watching Yaya and Lukaku in the same game. It's brilliant.
Good luck.
Oh, have you seen Leon Osman's reverse Van Basten where he hits the post?
That's
amazing.
Yeah.
It is amazing. I think that's it for questions. It's all the ones down the bottom.
Down the bottom. What, the one with us as wrestlers?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, wrestler. I didn't see that. Go on, Chris, because I don't know wrestlers as well as you.
Oh, it's from... Yeah, it's from Ariane Hedari. Chris is CM Punk. John is Mike Knox. Look him up, John. Danny is Big Show, standard. And Carl is Mark Henry. It's pretty good. I would say Carl is more like Titus O'Neil, personally.
I don't know who the John's one is.
I have no idea.
Mike Knox. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He's a scary looking dude.
Yeah.
Not bad. I'll take that.
Yeah. It's good. I like that. Very, very good. Danny, what have we got to plug?
Is it this week's show or next week's show that Gimli's doing a bit of a Highbury special, people kind of memories?
You're the boss, I don't know.
I can't remember.
I just turn up and talk.
I don't know. I don't know what Gimli's like. He doesn't let anybody know until 2 seconds before we start. Keeps us on our toes.
I think for memory, this week is Mr. Fife, is Mark King, and someone else. Kate, is it this week? Is it Kate back this week?
Kate's not back for a couple of weeks.
Okay. I'm sure it's Fife this week, and I'm sure it's Mark King and somebody else, so there you go.
I know we've got a couple of blogs out, the wonderful bloggers. There's one from Simon Collings. Yep. It's called Mesut Ozil, Arsenal's Big Buy Finally Coming Good, and these are all on at the Bergy blogs, and then there's another one from... a little bit further down the page. Someone called at Natural Footy Fan, and his one is called Why Arsenal Are Title Favourites. I don't think he's an Arsenal fan. Or she, or they, or it.
Doodas, Simon's is excellent, by the way.
I heard you saying that you're not a fan of blogs, but his was wonderful.
I'm not. No, I. And it's not a knock on bloggers. I just find it really hard to...
concentrate on reading.
Yeah,
I can't read.
I'm writing a blog myself at the moment, and I get distracted even writing one myself.
You keep eating the crayons.
I can't read them. But no, Simon is a massively talented chap.
Not to take away from Ariane's great naming of us as wrestlers, but everything Ruru, everything, I think may have topped it, at least for two of us. He's got Carl and Danny as the Dudley brothers.
That's very good.
And he also said that I'm Daniel Bryan, which is actually kind of cheered me up, because my nephew, him and all his little 7-year-old friends, whenever they come out of school, if I go pick him up sometimes, they all come out doing the yes, yes thing at me because I've got a beard.
Look what he said, Chris fun. Is. That's the gold dust.
Oh, and Chris is gold dust.
Shit.
Clearly knows something about Chris's private life.
I cross-dress on a Sunday. But if Danny and Carl were the Dudley brothers, Carl would order Danny would order Carl to get the cheddars, not the tables.
Hang on a minute. You could be there. Isn't there a third Dudley brother that's really short with long hair? Yeah, you could be that one.
Yeah, I think I'm short enough.
Or you could be the blue meanie.
I'm not that fat, you cheeky bastard. Pot kettle black.
Oh,
really, Tiger. Man City had 21 attempts at goal.
Yeah, they battered
Bloody
them.
Bloody hell.
Should we all...
Yeah, this is completely gone to pot now.
Should we all take a moment to chuckle at Spurs? Because they did lose at home, after all.
Who did they? I don't know. Who did they lose to?
Leicester.
Oh, they lost to Leicester. Oh, wonderful.
I know there's no shame in that, but it's still funny when they lose, you know.
They're doing now only 7 points ahead of them. I know everyone's saying they do. I genuinely don't see them as title contenders.
No, I don't either.
I don't know if it's just something for the media to drum up, but I haven't seen anything I don't watch them all the time, but I haven't seen anything that they've done spectacularly to think, oh, yeah, they're going to be title contenders. They are shit. I fucking hate them. Sorry for swearing.
No, they are shit.
They really are.
And also, if they get any injury to Harry Mong, they are screwed. I mean, they are properly screwed because they do not have anybody else who can score any goals. So
look, I'm happy they've got another game to play in the FA Cup, but they should have lost that game. That was never a handball, you know, no. Let's face it. But I'm happy that them and Leicester both got an extra game to play, so it makes it all the better.
When are those games played, by the way? John, do you know? Is it next week?
Tuesday, Wednesday next week.
No. I've got no idea.
It's next week, yeah.
Yeah, next week. So that means Tottenham play Leicester in midweek, and then the very next game they have is away at Palace on the Saturday. That's got to be a good thing for us, surely.
I don't care. They're
rubbish. You'd like to think.
And it's hilarious. I was watching there because Lee came round and the Spurs are playing the under-21s on telly, and then he left at 4-4. He said, let me know if anything happens. I just sent him a picture saying 5-4. But Andros Townsend playing for the under-21s.
I'm sorry. Chris and from AFTV is the Hardy Boys.
Good grief. Oh, good grief.
But how deluded are Tottenham to put like a 14 million price tag on Townsend?
Oh, hey, it's hilarious.
They were worth 4 million, let alone 14.
I think they're including his arse, because his arse is huge.
Do you remember when he was the next coming of England's future? Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, sad times.
Same with Dele Alli. Right.
I thought that was what you got when you go to India and you eat the meat.
It is.
Deli Belly.
That's yours.
I have actually.
It's horrible when you go to the toilet, it's like draining the radiator.
Oh, oh my gosh.
Radio show this weekend, so we got Stoke. Am I right in saying it's a TV game this weekend on Sunday?
Yes, 4 o'clock. Yeah.
Yes.
Early game.
Oh, early game, is it? Oh, God, that means I've got to get out of bed. So Danny won't be on then.
What time's it on
at? It's a 1:15, isn't it?
I'll be just getting into bed.
Is it 12:45? No, it's the 4:15.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah, Liverpool Man United, so that's two bald men fighting over a comb at 2:05.
And it's on Sky Sports 1, 4:15.
Yeah.
I might just get myself up for that.
In fact, we're on Sky the next three games, aren't we? Because we've got Chelsea the Sunday after that. So.
And for the hipsters amongst you, it's Cannes Marseille on BT Sports at 4 o'clock. Oh, so you can watch 15 minutes of that and then turn over to Arsenal. Chris, you watch every game all at once.
I was going to say, I'm going to have to do double duty again because it's St Etienne Lyon on Sunday. So I'm going to have to do... Actually, no, that's the evening game, so I'm saved. It's all good.
And that's 8 o'clock kickoff.
But yes, so the radio show will return on Sunday after the game. I know that Mr. Shredder is on. I think Mr. Parrott, Rob is on.
Mr. Canton is the other one, I think.
Mr. Canton, because you're not available, John, are you? So
I'm busy doing...
robbing Tesco's of all their packs of stickers.
Doing nerd stuff?
I think I might be doing nerd stuff, actually, on Sunday, yeah.
Good stuff.
I am doing nerd stuff. But it's one of the nerd things where women occasionally turn up to, so I might be doing nerd things and naughty things as well.
Oh, God, say no more. And Carl, you will be returning a day before my 33rd birthday on Sunday the 24th for the Chelsea game, I think I'm right in saying.
I will be.
Splendid.
Talking about the 6-0 win with Hazard breaking his leg and Costa being arrested on the pitch just for being ugly.
People still voted for Hazard as their Ballon d'Or. I find that laughable.
It's because of what he'd done before. Like, you got to think it's the whole year, isn't it?
Whole year, yeah.
He was good, you know, towards the top end of the year. You know, you got to give him a credit. He was good.
He was good, but he's still a mong. Okay. I think that's it really, Danny, isn't it? I don't think we've got anything else. Have we got anything else to plug? Anything else we need to mention? This will be up on iTunes.
Yeah.
Somebody tweeted me the other day and said, why don't we put a theme tune on the iTunes download? So so I'm gonna pass that.
Some really shitty heavy metal music. That'd be wonderful.
Oh,
5 hours of it.
Don't start.
Oh, yeah. There's a podcast you can listen to that's got a really good bit of intro music.
It's called
the Football Hipsters
podcast. Tell us about it.
And that's recorded Monday nights and is out on a Tuesday. And they've got a new show called The English Breakfast.
That's Breakfast!
Sunday nights. And out Monday morning for your morning... Commute. That's the word.
Yeah. Who can you find on the Sunday version, John?
On the Sunday version, there's Chris Carpenter. There's a Danny as well. And finally, we have someone who's not an Arsenal fan, so it is a little bit more diverse. We have a very nice chap, Ross,
whose surname I can't remember.
Well, actually, we're doing a rotating guest block because
That means Simon I'll probably be on it at some point. Apologies.
Yeah. Simon yeah,
when
and
when I get the I'm in bed with the poops.
Our blogger Simon and our other radio person Neil will also come on hopefully soon. So yeah, there will be other people, but yes, shameless plug. But if you do like European football as well as just normal Arsenal stuff, then give us a listen and try and be nice because we do it out of the joy of our hearts. And we very
apparently, Chris, there's someone in your window as well.
Oh, is there? I'll have a look. No, just some socks. Sorry. right, well, that's it for us tonight. We've gone on as usual, but thank you very much to my guests. Thank you to Carl and to John.
Thank you.
As always.
Danny, it's your job. I don't need to thank you. And Danny will be back on Thursday with ABW Pod, as will Gimney. We will speak to you after the Stoke match. So keep it Arsenal. Keep the faith. Keep smiling, boys and girls. We're top of the league. Speak to you soon, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
No.
Bye.
Miles around to check out the sound. Watch the walls come tumbling down. Kid and play is the perfect team. Now it's time to let off some steam.
Don't be bashful now.
Don't be shy.
This ain't no time for you to wonder why.
You're not on the floor with someone else.
Don't blame us, blame yourself.
You ain't got the guts to get with it.
Hey. The time is now, Duke.
Just admit, this is the perfect situation to take a chance in. Cause this is the house that we dance in.
Your flow,
smooth, not slow.
Be a dynamo.
Kid and play said so.
And yo,
let's flip when the beat rips.
Wiz got a gift,
and we got the tune to shoot it.
Your place or mine,
anywhere just fine.
When you're in the mood to unwind
and find a good time,
I'm looking for a great time.
If that's too much to ask, then I'll pass.
It's looking for a nice time.
Anytime's the right time.
For a kid and play rhyme,
right here's just fine.
To know what the good life is. Beats by her rhymes, kid and play,
and the cuts by Wiz
to just hype it up for this here crowd. With moves that would make Fred stare proud. Last call for alcohol at the jamboree.
Just get off the wall,
jamboree.
Just rock when the beat drops. Watch the clock, it's almost time to close up shop. But we've got the hip hop harder. Wiz, you and Stan, look out for my father. Kid, make sure ain't nothing been broken. Last record, y'all, and I'm hoping we don't get caught. Because I know if mom finds out, I'm over.
Oh, I didn't do it.
Not, yo, yo.
But why?
Who messed up that last line? You? What are you?
What are you?
I'm me.
Nine.
Misery.
Why? Misery.
Don't be shy, boy. Help, help.
You're play.
Play's convulsing on the floor.
Oh, shit. Help, help. What's up, Herb?